The topic for today is conscience. If you could just look up here. You all have one. And this is what separates human being and animals. It really, among other things. Okay? This is what separates human beings from animals. Okay? And what is conscience? Conscience is the faculty that God has given you, okay, so that you could decide, you could judge. Not you judge, but conscience judges what is right and what is wrong. Okay? Your conscience will probably tell you, you should listen right now, rather than not paying attention. You could ignore that, or you could listen to your conscience. Okay? So conscience is very important, and you have one, right? And it's a very biblical term, and it's a very important faculty, meaning ability. Animals don't have that, but human beings do have, right? When you, let's just say, not listen to your mom, ignore your aging mom, and if it doesn't bother your conscience, man, that's pretty sad, isn't it? That's pretty sad, isn't it? And you, let's just say, you began to bring a pencil from your workplace. You know, I gave this illustration. It's just a pencil, and I'm going to do some work at home, so it's not really stealing it, right? You began with a pencil or pen. Before you know it, you began to bring big stuff from company, your work. That has to do with conscience, right? But I want to introduce an important word from the scripture, what the conscience does or what it is. It's a witness. It's a witness. He watches you. Okay? You know, we use the term eyewitness. Your conscience is your soul witness. It witnesses you. That's right, and that's wrong. And you have an option of ignoring it or paying attention to it. And I really believe, and so many Christians in history look at this place of conscience as the most important place in your Christian walk, to live as a human being, okay? So I pray that you will listen, okay? Because you could just continue to bring pencil, and before you know it, you think you own the company, right? So why don't we begin? The title of the message for today is, You've Done Wrong, and God Will Speak to Your Conscience. You've done wrong, so you feel guilty. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because then you have a chance to turn, right? You've done wrong, right? So let me begin. I want to begin with 1 Timothy 1:5. Okay, and we learned this entire book a couple years ago, and Paul speaks to his son Timothy. The goal of our charge is love that comes from pure heart, good conscience, and sincere faith. If you could just look at this. The goal of life is to love, is love, Christian life. The goal is for you to live as someone who loves. And where does it come from? Three things. Pure heart. Okay? Clear or good conscience. And sincere faith. I love these three things, and you should too. Okay, let me repeat that. Pure heart. Do you have one? Secondly, good conscience. Do you have one? Right? And then thirdly, sincere faith. Do you have it? And I believe they go together, not kind of like separately. Pure heart, clear or good conscience, and then sincere faith. Unattainable? I don't think so. I don't think that's why, you know, if it is, I don't think the scripture is telling, or Paul is telling Timothy to have it. Pure heart. How do you have a pure heart, right? Or clear conscience. Can you have clear conscience? You continue to bring pencil from your work. Do you have a clear conscience? Probably not. Right? And then sincere faith. So let me begin with that. And then verse 18, it says, "This charge I entrusted to you, Timothy, my child, that by them you may wage a good warfare." In other words, you should fight for this in your Christian walk. If you strive, aspire to live as a godly man, you need to fight for this. You don't live, let the conscience just like, you know, go into the gutter. You don't do that, right? Holding faith and good conscience, and they go together. Faith and good conscience, they go together. You want to have a good faith, right? "By rejecting this, some have made shipwrecked of their faith." He's warning people, if you continue to not take care of your conscience, you're going to have a shipwreck, airplane crash. At the time, they didn't have airplane. So it's the biggest thing to talk about, it's a shipwreck. If you just continue to not listen to what the Lord is speaking to your conscience, you're going to have a shipwreck. Continue to bring pencil from work, right? "Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan." You know what? Basically, he's saying that if you don't continue to take care of your conscience as the Lord is speaking to you, it's like you're handing over yourself over to Satan. No small thing, okay? So the goal of Christian life is love. And I thought about this. God is love. In other words, we become more like God with pure heart, clear conscience, and sincere faith. If you think about it, who has pure heart? None of us, only God, only Christ. Who has clean hands, good, you know, conscience? Only Christ, right? And sincere faith, okay? J.C. Ryle is an 19th century Anglican pastor. I just want to quote him. I'm going to quote him twice today. "True Christian is one who has not only peace of conscience, you will have peace." Okay? You don't just ignore stealing and try to have peace. You will never have one, by the way. Because you know why? Conscience is a God-given ability according to the image of God. So it is written on your heart. When you steal, you know it is wrong. When you look at dirty pictures and the images, you know it is wrong. You know this is not right, right? But he's saying true Christian is one who has not only have peace of conscience, but war within, just as we just read in 1 Timothy. He may be known by his warfare as well as by his peace. In other words, you fight it. I come to this conclusion that my Christian walk is my love for the Lord and my hate for sin. That's my Christian life. My love for the Lord and my hatred toward evil and sin. I'm talking about mine. If you're not dealing with that, you're not really walking Christian life. You're not really living a Christian life at all. Maybe on the externally you are, but internally you aren't. But Christian life is about internal thing, right? So today, the story that we're going to be reading, Phil read, it's a great story. And if you could just pay attention to this, it's a tragic story, very gross story. Nevertheless, it's highlighted in the Bible. It's highlighted in the Bible. So please be attention. I mean, there's nothing, you know, nothing like this. King Herod, this is the son of Herod the Great in Jesus' birth. So King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. In other words, Jesus is becoming famous, and King Herod began to feel threatened, okay, just like his father. Some said, oh, that's John the Baptist, has been raised from the dead. What's going on? John died. In fact, Herod killed him a year ago, and this is happening a year later, okay? So John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah, and others said he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, this is his interpretation. See what's happening in his mind and in his conscience. This is his interpretation. No, Herod heard of it. He said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. What's going on? He's having a nightmare. He's having a nightmare, right? 17, for it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias. Who's that? His wife, his wicked wife. Okay. Wife is very important. Husband is very important. Because of his wicked wife, I see my wife smile. No. There is a wicked wife story in the Old Testament, wicked wife story in the New Testament. I thought about it. In the Old Testament, Jezebel, right? Ahab. Oh, man. His life is ruined because of his wife. Same here. Herod and Herodias, because of his wife, his life is ruined. Right? How wicked is she? Sake of Herodias. And who was she? His brother's Philip's wife. Such a soap opera, isn't it? He took his stepbrother's wife to be his wife. Right? That was the situation. Okay? Because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That's the word of the Lord. You can't do that. You cannot take your brother's wife. You have done wrong. The word of the Lord spoken to Herod's conscience. So what did he do? Okay. Herodias' response had a grudge against him. The truth has spoken and you hate him. Okay. You hate him. And you wanted to. She wanted to kill him. Can you believe this? I don't know whether any of you are feeling this. When the truth is spoken, when your sin is exposed, you have grudge. What about you? To you. Right? It's in the Bible. There's nothing new. Right? But she couldn't do it because Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. Okay, so I guess Herod had a little bit of conscience left, whereas Herodias just wanted to kill him. Okay? Let me keep going. So when Herod heard John speaking, he was greatly perplexed and yet heard him gladly. I love this part. Okay? So Herod, although he knew he was living in sin, he was living in gross sin, and the word is spoken to him, he may or may not liked it, but he was greatly perplexed. What does that mean? Yeah, I know. I gotta repent. Maybe some of you are doing that all these years. You enjoy coming to church, listening to hard messages, because you may feel a little better. But you continue to live with this mistress, living in sin, gross sin. No good. Because you know why? Because your conscience is not neutral. It's not going to be static. Seriously, when I was thinking about this, I was really thinking about this congregation and generation. I don't know whether he was glad to hear this message, right? I don't know that describes you. However, an opportunity came. It was Herod's birthday. Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter, now look at this wicked woman. She's so wicked to just get what she wants to cover her sin, she uses her own daughter. Now look at this, how wicked this woman is. Herodias' daughter came into and danced. In ancient times, men live, you know, this kind of crazy parties, rousing men sexually. That's basically what she did. And Herodias sent her own daughter to do that just to get what she wants, right? She pleased Herod and his guests, meaning they were sexually aroused. And the king said to the girl, listen to this guy, right? Ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. He sounds like God. He talks like God, just like his father. Remember what happened to his father? Because he didn't give glory to God. He died, eaten by worms, and never learns. I'll give to you anything you want just because of one dance. Crazy, right? And she went out and said to her mother, this is what we need to pay attention to, mothers. When your children ask for, what should I ask for? That's exactly what she did. What should I ask for? For what should I ask? And Herodias said to her probably teenage daughter, ask for the head of the John the Baptist. How do you like this? You know, I know you may not think of this story as much, but I think this is so meaningful. Your daughters, your children will ask you, Mom, Dad, what should I live for? And she said, ask for the head of the John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of the John the Baptist on a platter. Wow. Platter, John's head. Please picture this. It's in the Bible. And you know, they're going to see it, right? On the platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oath and his guests, he feared men more than he feared God. His conscience was completely wrecked, shipwrecked. The sign of shipwrecked conscience. You fear men much more than God. Okay? Can we, actually, there is no drinking in this place. If you could, because it kind of, you know, disturbs me. If you could just hold on to your drink. The sign of shipwrecked conscience. You fear men more than God. Right? What should I, you know? Half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to mother, what should I ask? She was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oath and his guests, did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with the order to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. So mother got what she wanted using her own daughter. How do you like that? Talking about wickedness, right? Your conscience. Go that far if you continue to ignore it. What separates human beings from the animals is the conscience. Seriously, brothers and sisters, don't look at me. Yeah, seriously. Okay? When his disciples heard it, they came and took his body and laid it on a tomb. Okay? That's the story. What a bizarre soap opera, story of infidelity, divorce, remarriage, incest, political intrigue, jealousy, spite, revenge, lewdness, lust, cold-heartedness, cruelty, brutality, violence, and ungodly remorse. Do you see it? It's in the Bible. What do you think it is in the Bible? Because you are very capable of doing the same thing. You, all of you. Very capable. You listen to the word of God. You're wrong. You've done wrong. It's unlawful for you to steal pen from work. And you continue to ignore it. What happens to you then? Right? You're going to eventually have a grudge brutality and you want to kill John the Baptist. That's satanic. That's satanic spirit who wants to take your soul to the darkness. Okay, it really is actually. I really believe a true Christian have peace because of Christ, which I'm going to be explaining at the end. But at the same time, you get rage in a war because sin is so sly, right? And it is haunting you. If you continue to do that and you're going to live in peace and rest and rest in peace, no, you are not going to do that. You're going to have nightmares like John the Herod. So what is the conscience? What does the Bible say about conscience? Oh, let me, John Calvin, okay, describing Herod. This is what he says. The torture of a bad conscience is the hell of a living soul. You're living in a hell because your conscience is constantly bothered. Right? John Calvin. So what is the conscience? There's a great passage in the book of Romans, okay? It's a great place to go, okay? And this is what Paul wrote. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bear witness. And their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them. But on that day, when according to my gospel, God will judge the secret of man by Christ Jesus. Let me explain. Let me unfold this. Okay? The law is written on your heart. The law of God is written on all of your heart. When you beat up someone, when you harm someone, it bothers you. It's written, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal things. When you steal things, you feel guilty. It's written on your heart. And then the conscience witnesses it. Okay? You've done wrong or you've done right. C.S. Lewis used to say, my argument against the atheistic belief was that the whole world is full of injustice. Now listen to me, this is so brilliant. He used to say, if God is alive, how could the world is full of injustice? And then one day he realized, how can I know what is a crooked line without picturing what a straight line is? Realizing, if I recognize this is all crooked, that means there is a straight line and justice. Where did I get that? My morality, my conscience, from God of the universe. Do you get it? Conscience will continue to speak to you. It's someone described it as a God's governor, and you will not get away from it. And basically what Paul is saying is that on the day of judgment, Jesus will judge you according to the gospel, right? And the conscience will be standing there and will witness against you. Your conscience. That's what the scripture is stating. And the conscience will tell you, either accuse you're guilty or it defends you. You've done right, you've done wrong. It's God's gift, brothers and sisters, because if you don't know, if you can't tell, right, you'll just continue to go one way and you'll just crash and die. But God has given this faculty, this ability, capability for you to be able to see what is right and what is wrong. When you continue to undermine the church, it should bother your conscience. I hope it does. Then you have a chance to repent. If you continue to living in gross sexual sin, it should bother you. It should really bother you. Your conscience should bother you. You've done wrong. It's unlawful. And if you just continue to ignore it, right? If you're going to continue to suppress it, you know what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Okay? John Buchanan, great theologian, wrote this statement. Could you look at this? Because this is so powerful. The conscience becomes weaker in proportion as sin grows stronger. That's obvious, right? Conscience become weaker in proportion as sin grows stronger in the soul. until the sinner may arrive at a point of degeneracy. What kind of degeneracy? At which he is wholly given over to a reprobate mind. You know what that is? Instead of predestined, you become reprobate. In other words, God just gave up on you. Okay, reprobate mind. So far from being condemned by his conscience. So conscience cannot speak to you any longer because your conscience is completely off. Because you continue to indulge in sin, wallow in sin, justify your own sin. Right? Condemn his own conscience. He may dare to justify his wickedness by saying good an evil and evil good. In other words, you call evil good and good evil just to justify yourself. That's how your conscience will work eventually. It's pretty scary. Instead of being ashamed of his guilt, he may give in glory in his shame. This is scary, brothers and sisters. Okay? This is scary. John the Baptist continued spoken to him. Spoken the word of God. It is unlawful. You need to let her go. You need to repent. And continue to live in sin. What happened? He was greatly perplexed each time he heard him, as you maybe are, some of you are. You hear the word of God and you're perplexed, which is a good thing. But if you don't do anything about it, you're going to end up being like Herod. Seriously. Because I've seen so many cases like this. Especially sexual sins. Right? I want to explain. You know, this is the first passage that I shared with Christianity Explored. And when the word of God unadulterated, my prayer is that the gospel will spoken to your conscience. Right now, spoken to your conscience. All of you, including me too, spoken to your conscience. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that you will have chance to respond to the word of God. And that really is my prayer. That includes the youth group. You're not too young to understand this. I don't think so. When the word of God is spoken to your conscience, you have a decision to make. You always do. Just silence it. Ignore it. Silence and mute it. Until it becomes meaningless echoing of your soul. Meaningless echoing of your soul. It speaks to you, but it means nothing to you. Or some of you enjoy it, greatly disturbed, but you walk away and you totally forget about it. Just like rocky soil. Not good, brothers and sisters. So what's the good news then? Is there any good news? Is there any hope for us? Yes, there is. Okay? Yes, there is. Okay? If you could just listen to this psalm, Psalm 24. Great psalm. There's a gospel component, and let me try to explain this. And the psalmist wrote, "The earth is the Lord's. The entire universe is the Lord, and the fullness thereof." In other words, the entire universe, the God of the universe. You got to picture it. If you want to live, you have to meet God. Until you meet God, you do not know yourself. You're blind, completely blind. Okay, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and of those who dwell there within. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Do you see the greatness of God? He's describing the greatness of God. And then he asked this question, okay? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who could approach him? We already established with men it is impossible, right? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in the holy place? What is he saying? He's referring to Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies. Who could go to him? Who could possibly do that? And then he answers, he who has clean hands and he who has a pure heart. Remember we talked about this? Who has pure heart? Do you have one? Do I have it? No, I don't have it. Clean hands and pure heart. Sinless. Who's that? There's only one person. That's Jesus. Right? He who has clean hands and pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Brothers and sisters, the hope is the Son of God who has a pure heart and clean hands. He went up on the hill and he shed the blood. Right? He shed the blood. And then because of his sacrifice on Calvary, we've been talking about this last month, because of his sacrifice on Calvary, since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, right? He's the high priest. He's the lamb, and he's the blood. He's the entire sacrificial system. Because of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience. That's the only hope, brothers and sisters. Do you want to have a pure heart? Is that possible? Is that even possible? How can a human being have a pure heart? It's impossible. But there is a good news though, right there. When the blood of Christ is sprinkled, that he's my ransom, he's my propitiation, he's my lamb. When it is poured upon my heart, it becomes pure. Do you understand? And with a pure heart, new heart, you begin to live a life with clear conscience. You say no to evil. You say no to cheating. You say no to stealing pen. You got to do that, brothers and sisters. Don't think it's all in your head. You got to do that. If you truly repent, you will return it and apologize and pay for what you have caused harm. That's the true repentance. You don't continue to live in sexual immorality and continue to steal. You don't do that. Unless you truly repent, your conscience will become weaker and weaker until it is completely silenced. And then eventually, Bible describes it as a seared conscience with a hot iron. You know what that means? When hot iron just sears over it, you don't feel anything anymore. It's dead, completely dead, reprobate mind. And you begin to call evil good and good evil because just to justify yourself. What happened to Herod? Do you remember? Do you know the story of Herod? A couple years later, finally he gets to meet Jesus. Do you remember that? Jesus was captured after the Gethsemane, right? And he was brought before Herod. And Herod was intrigued. Whoa, now I'm going to see some miracles. Can you perform some miracles? Can you do something? Can you speak some word of God? Guess what? What did Jesus do? He spoke not. He silenced. In other words, God will silence at the end. If you continue to go against your conscience. What happened? And then he handed him over to Pilate. What did Pilate do? Pilate wanted to save him, but the crowd, again, fear of the people. What did he do? He washed his hands. And I'm clean of his blood. Wow, that's such a meaningful statement, isn't it? Instead of cleansed by the blood of Jesus, I am cleansed from the blood of this man. And guess what happened? Herod and Pilate, they were enemies until then, but because of Jesus, they became friends since then. Do you understand this? They became good friends since then on because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. When the word of God is spoken to you, God is pouring grace upon you right now, like right now, brothers and sisters. Not because I'm speaking, but because you do have a chance. When the word of God is spoken to you, right? You need not, you must not harden your heart and close your conscience. You need to listen. And feeling greatly perplexed is not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. You have to let go of Herodias. That's a sinful relationship. I don't know whether you could see it. R.C. Ryle. I'll close with this. I'll just read it to you. Every fresh act of sin, like right now if you ignore it, every fresh act of sin lessens fear and remorse, hardens our hearts, and blunts the edge of our conscience, and increases our evil inclinations. Oh, that's pretty hard preaching. Okay? Every fresh act of sin. One more pen from work. It could be as small as one more pen from work. Like right now, you just want to get out of here. Hey, let me get it over with. I'll never come back here. Every fresh act of sin lessens the fear and remorse. It's going to harden your heart and blunt the edge of your conscience, the edge of your conscience, and increases our evil inclination. Brothers and sisters, we must listen to what the Lord is speaking to our conscience. Do you remember John Martin Luther, who led the Reformation in 16th century? The entire Catholic Church threatened him. You must recant and live. Otherwise, you'll be, you know, you'll be excommunicated. It's worse than put to death. You'll be excommunicated. And this is what Martin Luther said. Unless I am convinced by the proof from the scriptures or by plain and clear reasons and arguments, I can and will not retract, for it is neither safe nor wise to do anything against conscience. So here I stand, and I can do no other. So God, help me. Amen. Will you be like Herod? Or will you be like Martin Luther? Will you be like Herod? Or will you be like King David? Remember King David? He commit adultery and murder. He's a bad guy. Terrible. But when God sent Nathan, just like John the Baptist, spoke one parable, right? And spoke the word of God. You are the man. You are the man. You need to be put to death. And he repented. Repented. When the word of God is spoken to your conscience, brothers and sisters, do not ignore it, but listen to what the Lord is speaking to you. Let's pray.